I don't know how many of you spotted the article in the press last week about the married couple from Hampshire who were poised to emigrate to New Zealand. What made that story particularly newsworthy is that Eric and Doris King-Turner are 102 and 87 years of age, respectively. And in spite of a combined age of 189 years, have decided to pack their bags and set up home round the other side of the world, on the South Island of New Zealand, from where Mrs. King-Turner originally came and where they were married. It's a remarkable story. But this morning I've been asked to read of an even more remarkable incident. It takes us back about 4,000 years, when a married couple, with a combined age not of 189, but actually of 190, had a son born to them. I refer, of course, to Abraham and Sarah, and our first reading today is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared and said to him, I am God Almighty. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and will also give you a son by her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to one who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac, which means laughter. And then in the next chapter, Genesis 18, we read that the Lord appeared to Abraham as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And in response to the question, where is Sarah, your wife? Abraham answered, behold, in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And Sarah laughed in herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And finally, from our New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she reckoned him faithful who had promised. And that biblical account of the birth of Isaac has much to tell us not only about the faith of Abraham and of Sarah, but also about the greatness and the character of their God and ours too. And in our reading, Sarah learnt something of his power, of his knowledge, and of his faithfulness. First, she discovered her God to be all-powerful. First, then, Sarah discovered her God to be all-powerful. And as a result of her faith in him, she, I read it, received power to conceive at the age of 90. And the Lord gave her not only the strength to conceive and bear a child, but also, according to chapter 21 of Genesis, which records the actual birth, gave her the ability to nurse and feed her child until he was weaned. Indeed, you might have noticed that our reading this morning began with the Lord introducing himself to Abraham with the words, I am God Almighty. I am, that is, the all-sufficient, the all-powerful God. Yes, it was true that Sarah had been barren all her life. Yes, it was true that in any case, she was now well past the age of childbearing. But as the Lord himself asked Abraham, following her incredulous laughter, is anything too hard? Is anything too difficult, that is, for the Lord? And what a tremendously encouraging text for us to take with us into the new year. As Corrie ten Boom once wrote, do not ask, what can I do? But ask, what can he not do? But Sarah discovered her God to be not only all-powerful, but also all-knowing. For we read that although Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him, behind the Lord, that is, out of his line of vision, and although she laughed in herself, we read also that the Lord then questioned Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? She may well have been out of his sight, and her laughter may have been only inward and silent. But God had heard her well enough, and it's a salutary fact. Though we can sometimes hide things very successfully from others, we can never hide anything from God, even our inner and most private thoughts and feelings. And thirdly, and I have in mind that we have just begun a new year, Sarah proved her God to be not only all-powerful and all-knowing, but also one who is faithful to his word. As we read, she reckoned, she esteemed, she counted him faithful, who had promised, and it would be difficult to imagine a more comforting assurance to carry us through 2008. She reckoned him faithful who had promised. And some 9 months later, the evidence of God's faithfulness was there for all to see. Because Genesis 21 opens with the words, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken. God had, that is, kept his word, and yes, as always, had acted right on schedule. Apart from the years which Abraham and Sarah spent married but childless, in Ur of the Chaldees and in Haran, they had now lived together in Canaan for some 25 years. Sarah had waited a long time for a son. But there was a wise purpose behind it all. God had his own reasons for keeping Abraham and Sarah waiting. Mainly, I do not doubt that when he did intervene, there would at that point, humanly speaking, be no possibility whatever of them producing a child, and it would therefore be evident to all that this was his doing. We too can rest assured that God always has reasons for his seeming delays. She reckoned him faithful who had promised. The Lord Jesus once exhorted his disciples, have faith in God. James Hudson Taylor, great missionary pioneer of 19th century, maintained that our Lord's words should rather be translated, hold on to the faithfulness of God. Indeed, those words became the motto of his life and work. And in his autobiography, To China with Love, Mr. Hudson Taylor records an incident which happened more or less exactly 250 years ago, and I quote him. On the 6th of January, 1858, only one solitary cash remained, a cash being the 20th part of a penny. But though tested, we looked to God once more to manifest his gracious care. Enough provision was found in the house to supply a meagre breakfast, After which, having neither food for the rest of the day, nor money to buy any, we could only go to him who was able to supply all our needs. After prayer and deliberation, we thought that perhaps we ought to dispose of something we possessed in order to meet our immediate requirements. We had indeed one article, an iron stove, which we knew the Chinese would readily purchase, although we much regretted the necessity of parting with it. At length, however, we set out, and after a walk of some distance came to the river. But the bridge had been carried away during the preceding night, and the river was only passable by means of a ferry, the fare for which was 2 cash for each person. As we only possessed 1 cash between us, our only course was to return. On reaching home, we again cried to the Lord. While we were still upon our knees, a letter arrived from England containing a remittance, and this timely supply not only met the immediate and urgent need of the day, although during subsequent years our faith was often severely tried, he ever proved faithful to his promise. End quote. The Bible doesn't mince matters, tells us very plainly that we have all sinned against God, whoever we are. But it also promises us, if we confess our sins, he, the God we've sinned against, he is, what's the word, faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God has said it, and because he has said it, he will do it. For as Sarah proved so long ago, he is faithful who promised. It is then for each of us to turn to him in repentance, place our trust alone in the Lord Jesus and his death for us, and to receive his promised forgiveness. And thereafter, in the words of Hudson Taylor, to hold on to the faithfulness of God. Shall we pray?